www.jesusfamily.com.
Hi. You are our writer. Okay, now, come on over here. Are you right-handed or left-handed? Okay, perfect. Why don't you stand on that side and don't fall off the stage? Because that'll be bad. I'll give you more room. Okay, so, got a couple of things here. You're going to need this. Nope. You're going to need this. Most important task so that my Mrs. Sherry, also my wife, does not get mad at me, is with this marker, don't write on the white. Write on the paper. Very important. Don't write on yourself either, because if you do, ain't coming off. It's permanent marker. I don't think it's coming off. Okay, so hang here for a second. So want you to think about how we typically respond when someone hurts us. Right? Like, we're going to think about that for a few minutes, and I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. I'm going to get some feedback because we want to write these down up here on some paper, okay? So we're going to think about that for a few minutes. I want you to think about, before we do that, I want you to think about specifically something or someone that has really hurt you or upset you in your life. Okay? Like, maybe it was a time when someone stole something from you, or a time when you were treated unfairly. Maybe a friend betrayed you, a classmate pushed you or hurt you in a fight. Maybe it's a brother or a sister who lied to mom or dad and got you into trouble. Right? How many of you thought of something? Something. Right? Have you thought of something? Come on, everybody should be thinking. Put on the thinking caps, you know, as the teachers say. All right? Now I want you to try and think of a second time that this happened, that you were hurt by someone. Like, maybe you got overlooked, maybe for the adults at work for a promotion or a raise, or maybe you were treated unkindly or condescendingly by a boss. Right? If I asked you to think about a third time, something that was really, really recent, how many of you could come up with something? Nobody? Because if you weren't hurt any time of these three, then we can just quit the message now. But I'm guessing that we all can relate to this, right? There are a lot of times where other people hurt us or upset us in our life. It's never ending. Like, it doesn't end in our lives. And this morning, we're kind of looking at, with the passage we're looking at, what should we do when someone wrongs us? Now, the question I'm asking you here that we're going to write some answers down on the board is, what do we typically do when someone wrongs us? Okay, now I know it might depend on exactly what they did, but what are some ways that we often respond when someone hurts us or wrongs us? Okay, are you guys ready? Okay, we need some answers. Go. Blank. Okay, think, you cry. Yeah. Cry, all right, that's a good one. Just pick any, there you go. There, great. How else do we respond? Especially when it comes to reacting to somebody else. Get mad. You can just put mad. All right, something else. Ignore them. Okay, something else. Yes. Punch them. Hey, sometimes that's how people respond, right? Fight back. You can just put fight, maybe. But fight back, yeah. Avoid. Okay, others. Gossip. You talk about them behind their back a little bit. Come on, some others. We got lots of papers to fill here, so we need more. Yes. Revenge. What else? Tattle. Okay. There was another one over here. There you go. Yep. We stew. S-T-E-W. I know you don't eat stew, right? So you don't know how to spell that. No, I'm just kidding. Just like, what? Others, come on, we got lots more. What else do we have? Hate. I was going to say that's a good one. That would give the wrong impression. It is one. It is one. What else do we have? Bitter. All right, we get bitter. Okay, these are some good answers. Let's dig deeper. A couple more. We got some blank pages. Talk trash. Yeah, we'll go with that one. I think that's a little different than gossip, right? Because gossip, you go talk to somebody else, talk trash, and you're like right in their face. All right? Resentment, like a resent. All right, let's see if we can fill these up. We got about five more. You get defensive. Okay? Others? Others? All right, let me throw some out. Some of these might be similar, but this might fill some. We've only got like three or four more left. So let's see where we're missing. Yell. You might yell or scream. Okay, that'd be like the same thing. What about this? We be sarcastic, right? We get sarcastic and make comments. I think we heard this. We badmouth them to others. That's like gossip. We talk about them behind their back. Maybe we swear at them under our breath, or maybe not even under our breath. Like, we might do something to get them into trouble, like kind of revenge, right? Revenge. We start plotting a way to get even. We try to make them look bad. Yeah, we got a couple more answers popping up. You get greedy? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. You got to talk really loud. Oh, okay. All right. Just put greedy. Sure. We can put that up there. We try to make them look bad. We might even get involved physically. Right? That's sort of on the fight side, right? Pushing, shoving, physical violence. And then we might do some things that are very opposite. And you guys mentioned some of these. We pull away from them. We withdraw and ignore them. We refuse to talk with them. We avoid them altogether. We don't answer their calls. We don't answer their messages, right? So these are the kinds of things we do when someone hurts us. Now, thank you very much for writing these down. Give her a hand. That looks generally like some good spelling and good writing. So we'll come back to this in a minute, right? Now, are any of these things healthy? Right? Are any of these things really something we're supposed to be doing? Maybe crying, right? The passage that we're going to look at today talks about a lot of these things, but actually it talks about the opposite of these things, or how we are supposed to deal with those who hurt us. And if you were here last week, Emily, my daughter, kind of led us into this passage. She read through this passage, but didn't spend a lot of time on the last part of it. So we're going to kind of pick up where she left off and wasn't able to dig into for time. So we're looking at Romans chapter 12, verses 14 through 21. And I'm going to read it through just so that you can hear it, and then we're going to pull out a couple of specific verses that have to do with this topic. Okay? So Romans 12, 14 through 21. Here's what Paul writes. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. All right, so there's a lot of different things in this passage that God tells us to do about how to interact with others, and many of them have to do with how we interact or how we respond when we're hurt, right? And most of them are not easy. It's not what we want to do when someone hurts us. This looks more like what we want to do when someone hurts us. But let's look at a few of these verses specifically. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. All right, so to bless someone means to praise them or to speak well of them. Right? I'm sure you've heard the expression, like, if you can't say something good or nice, you shouldn't say anything at all. And, you know, that's not necessarily a Bible verse, but it kind of does reflect what this is saying, doesn't it? Bless them, do not curse them. Bless people who persecute you. Speak well of them, praise them, and don't curse them. Well, if we were just following that verse, that would take a bunch of these things off the list, wouldn't it? Because if we're supposed to speak well of someone, that means we shouldn't, like, make mean comments and be sarcastic and talk badly about them behind their back. So let's see, what can we take off here? We can take off talk trash. We can take off sarcasm. Whoa. We can try. We can take off gossip. Right? Those things don't belong. Any others that we see? There's probably a few more on there, but we might cover them again. So, again, first thing, bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse them. Verse 17 says this, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. All right, so much for plotting against them, right? We can't plot against them. Where do we have get even? Revenge. Yeah, that one I don't think we can do. Maybe fight. We'll see. Maybe that comes off somewhere else. Okay. Verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. If possible, so far as it depends on who? On you and on me. Live peaceably with all. Now that one's a really hard one. And here's why, because it means that when someone has hurt us, it's up to us to make peace with them. Kind of suggests that, doesn't it? As far as it depends on you, you be a peacemaker. That's asking a lot, because when someone hurts us, we want them to come and ask us for forgiveness. We want them to realize, oh, they did something wrong, and come to us and say they're sorry and ask forgiveness and grovel at our feet and promise to make it up to us and do anything they can. Right, you get the picture. That's what we want. We want them to feel bad for what they did. And a lot of times that just doesn't happen. In fact, sometimes they don't even realize how badly they've hurt us. But being at peace with someone often means we have to make the first move. Right? It will never happen if we're waiting for them to come around. So I don't think we can ignore them if we're supposed to make the first move. Right? What else do we think we can get rid of? Avoid, right? Probably, did we do? You guys are whispering. Mad. Yeah? I know nobody wants to yell it out in the room, but all right. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. Well, we just kind of got that one taken off, didn't we? It's not up to us to be the one who takes revenge or gets justice on someone who hurts us. We aren't supposed to take it into our own hands. We're supposed to leave that part up to God. Right? So far, a lot of these things will definitely fit into there. Right? If we're going to be a peacemaker, it's hard to kind of keep that resentment going, right? If we're not supposed to avenge ourselves, we probably shouldn't punch them. Just a good idea. Or yell at them. Or get greedy and plot revenge, right? Take the cat, whatever the suggestion was. If we're not going to curse them, we better not swear. If we're going to not repay evil for evil, probably don't want to fight. And I think hate would fall under the evil category. To do what's honorable in the sight of all. Well, defensive, bitter, and stewing, do we think that? Probably come off the board. Tattling, just trying to get them in trouble. Now, if you're telling the truth, I suppose there's something to that, but most of the time when you talk about tattling, it's like just trying to get them in trouble, right? Repaying no one evil for evil? I don't think we should do that. So maybe crying is okay. So this brings us to the last two verses. Last two verses of this text. To the contrary, instead of all these things, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Right? So we're supposed to give food to our adversary. We're supposed to give drink to our enemy if they're thirsty. That just sounds so backwards and twisted. Right? Because they would never do that for us. They would probably just leave us to starve or die of thirst. And that might be true. And that might even feel like what we want to do. But that's not God's way. God's way, well, sometimes it is a little backwards. Because those things are not the things he wants us to be. Now you probably remember what Jesus said about this in Matthew chapter 5, his Sermon on the Mount. He said this, verses 38 through 48, it'll be up on the screen. Jesus' words, he said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, leave him your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You've heard it that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." Now hold that thought a minute. We're supposed to be sons and daughters of the Father who is in heaven. In other words, we're supposed to look like who? We're supposed to look like Jesus, who is the Son of God. We're supposed to look like sons and daughters of the Father. For, talking about God, he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles, the non-believing non-Jewish people, do not even the Gentiles do that? You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Right? That's what he calls us to. So here's the thing. If we only show love to the people who are nice to us, that's not good enough. That's not how God himself operates. Like Paul said earlier in Romans, God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Right? While we were still enemies of God, he showed us love. He gave his son Jesus to die on the cross to make us right. In Jesus, he's given us exactly what we need most. Even though we didn't know him, we didn't love him, we didn't trust him, we didn't follow him, and we didn't even believe him at one point in time. And yet, that's the kind of love he showed us. It's also the kind of love he wants us to show to others. Now, I do want to address one little phrase in this passage that we read in Romans. Paul adds here that when we act kindly to those who treat us badly, it heaps burning coals upon their head. Now, it's not suggesting that that should be our motivation for doing something nice for someone who does something bad to us. Right? That's pretty clear when he says, don't overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. Right? He's not suggesting that's a good reason. Hey, if you do something nice, burning coals to the one who did you wrong. But you know, when we do something kind to someone who does us harm, it kind of catches them off guard, doesn't it? Like, they might even feel guilty about how they treated us, what they did to us, because we just proved they had no reason to do such a cruel thing. And hopefully it changes their heart. But even if it doesn't, again, what Paul said, let God's judgment be the answer, not our own, not our own. So if there's one big takeaway today, I want it to be this. Here's our key idea this morning. If we want to love like Jesus, we have to love the people who are hardest to love. Right? If we want to love like Jesus, if we want to be like Jesus, we have to love the people who are hardest to love. And a lot of times, that's the people who hurt us. Jesus died for you and me who love him back. That's easy. It's easy to love people who love you back and who don't hurt you. But if we want to love like him, we've got to love the people who are hardest to love. Now think about the people in Jesus' life that hurt him. And he still willingly died on a cross for each and every one of them. He died on a cross for Peter, who denied him. For Judas, who betrayed him. For the Jewish people who rejected him. For the religious leaders who falsely convicted him. For Pontius Pilate, who sentenced him to death. For the Roman soldiers who mocked him and beat him and whipped him and tortured him and nailed him to a cross. For the people in the crowd who mocked him as he was dying. For those who didn't even believe when he rose from the dead. For those who still don't believe today. That's who he died for. And if we want to, and because he loves them, if we want to love like Jesus, we have to love the people who are hardest to love. That means the people who persecute you, who hurt you, who wound you, who betray you, who reject you, who overlook you, who look down on you, who don't treat you right. That means the people who do you wrong, who sin against you, who have broken your trust, who you've let down, who have let you down time and time again, who have insulted you, who have assaulted you. Like, the list could go on and on and on, but I think you get the idea. Right? If we want to love like Jesus, we have to love the people who are hardest to love. And not just in theory, but in real life. Like, I don't know, maybe we can muster up some love and compassion for, like, the crooked business person we saw in the news, or the actor who said something about us Christians we didn't like, or the sports figure who's the womanizer, or the political leader we disagree with. Like, we can maybe muster up some generic love for them. Maybe we can stir up a little bit of compassion or pity or kindness and go, well, they don't know Jesus. Even though we battle resentment about that. But the fact is, we're never going to come face to face with them, most likely. We need to love them too, but let's focus where it hits close to home. Right? Who are the people around you every day that you rub shoulders with and they rub you the wrong way? Right? We need to love them even when it's tough for us. That's what God is calling us to here. If we want to love like Jesus, we have to love the people who are hardest to love. Now, I don't know, as I'm talking about that, maybe there's someone that comes to mind for you. I just want to, as we close, I just want to take a moment and pray about that right now. So would you join me in prayer? And by the way, maybe there's someone or multiple people you need to reach out to this week because you think, man, yeah, I haven't loved them like I should. Maybe there's a conversation I need to start. Maybe some baby steps I need to take to move in that direction. All right, let's pray about that. Father God, you are a God who loves us so incredibly. We get that. We know as followers of you that Jesus died on a cross for us and the sacrifice that was made for us. And you call us to love like you do. And that's going to mean loving some people who are very difficult to love. That's going to mean loving in response to when someone has hurt us, as hard as that is to do. So we're praying this morning that you would stir up a heart of compassion and love for those who have wounded us, a spirit of forgiveness. Help us to be peacemakers, and as far as it depends on us, to be at peace with them. And God, we know we need your strength to be able to do that. And these particular people that might come to mind right now, we pray specifically for them, that there would be an openness to you, but mostly that there would be a heart on our part to reach out, to move toward them in love, because that's what you would do. And Lord God, I know that for me and the people that come to mind for me, this is not an easy prayer. This is not an easy thing to do. But we pray for your strength. I pray for your strength and ask that you would be the one that leads and guide us to love like you. And to take whatever steps you prompt us to take, what you put on our hearts by your Spirit. So we lift these people up before you, but we lift ourselves up as well and ask for you to move in power and in strength. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, we are going to close with a couple more songs of worship. If you give us a minute to transition.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.